Good evening, everyone, and welcome to A Fireside Chat. This is your host, Zany Mystic. I'm honored to have a return visitor to our show tonight. Here to provide an update on Operation Terra is my guest, Liara. Welcome back, Liara. It's great to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Good. Well, you know, a lot has happened since I didn't realize how much time had passed. And, you know, the world events have heated up considerably since we spoke last. And also there's been another message from the host.
Correct.
Maybe you could share your views from Operation Terra standpoint on what's going on right now.
Well, in the larger scheme of things, we can clearly see evidence now all over the world. There's earthquakes going on. Since the tsunami in Indonesia, the big one, The earth has continued to reverberate. And every time we have a full moon or a new moon, the earth tides set off areas that are ripe. So we just saw a major quake in Mexico City, and there's been earthquakes going on. We can see the change in the weather patterns. Even though right now the Atlantic is somewhat quiescent and calmer than was anticipated, we have the typhoon that hit China, and there's, you know, floods. There's snow blocking mountain passes in South Africa. The earth changes continue, and I watch these things, how they jump back and forth between Indonesia and our side of the Ring of Fire, all up and down the coast of South America right now in Alaska.
Huh.
And those keep boinking around north and south and east and west.
Uh-huh.
That is definitely amping up gradually. And then we have, of course, the heating up of things in the Middle East, but that isn't the only place. And those also have a tendency to oscillate, where there is a crisis and then the fire gets put out and then another hot spot flares up. But generally, this oscillation, this trend, is taking us further and further into this period of cleansing.
Mm.
The frequency of the planet is rising.
Okay.
And all things, especially emotions, but emotions are in there, have an innate frequency. And as this frequency starts rising, the emotions of fear and anger and rage and hate start rising as they get flushed to the surface, because
uh-huh.
they are incompatible with the higher frequencies of love and joy and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're seeing on a planetary basis is symptomatic of this rising frequency flushing out all these lower vibrational thought patterns and emotions and historical records essentially encoded into the planet from, you know, millennia of human occupancy.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fellow that couldn't handle it and went, we have an expression in the United States, going postal. He went into a Jewish organization. He was a Muslim. He couldn't handle what was going on in the Middle East,
uh-huh.
and he sprayed a whole bunch of people with bullets just because he perceived them as responsible for what was going on in the Middle East.
Wow.
Just by identity, he objectified them. There has been an increase in Christian attacks on people who don't share their own belief systems. And it's my feeling that as this trend continues on a global basis,
mm-hmm.
that people will be triggered at different points of stress, that they
mm-hmm.
can only handle a certain amount. It's something like road rage,
yeah.
where a person just gets overloaded and then one little thing happens, and it's little,
yeah.
and
yeah.
they go ballistic. I mean, they just, you know, they just explode, because they've got such a load on. And people are actually anxious. about a number of things, but they try their best to kind of push it down and go on with their lives. Most people are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
They're struggling for survival. We've had years now of economic decay on many fronts, and nothing gets people more nervous than when their survival's at stake.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Oh, absolutely.
So that, I'm seeing things getting more and more in the direction where these things are being flushed to the surface, and as a result, people act out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things happening now that are gradually turning up the heat on the fear level.
Mm-hmm.
And when people start getting to a place where they feel overwhelmed, then they start responding in ways that are irrational. Emotions
mm-hmm.
are irrational in their nature. And if they haven't got skills and training
mm-hmm.
in managing their emotions, which, you know, it's very rare that people actually get that. We certainly don't get that kind of training in our schools or our training for vocations
mm-hmm.
unless we happen to be in certain professions. Mental health care professionals or something. We don't get those kinds of skills as a general thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people are unprepared to handle these things. And what the tendency is to distract oneself from the feelings that are coming up.
Yeah.
Either by suppressing them or by putting one's attention on something else, rather than dealing with those feelings.
Uh-huh.
And I feel this is a very central point, whether a person is part of Operation Terror or not. And I'll return to that issue in a moment, but
okay.
I think it's survival relevant to do that emotional work.
Uh-huh.
Everything in us is instinctive to either fight or flee. I mean, that's when we have this stress level, our adrenaline level rises, and our body systems are equipped to either be in a combative mode, an aggressive mode, or to retreat, to get away from whatever is stressing us. And we have to actually, when we are experiencing fear, and I do feel that fear underlies emotions like rage, hate, and anger. I feel that if you go down to their root, you'll find fear at the root.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to do is kind of go counter to our animal instincts and walk into that fear
mm-hmm.
and sit with it and move through it and sort of, I wouldn't say make friends with it, but really not run from it
mm-hmm.
and not act in ways that dissipate it, but rather move into it and, you know, become calm. And when one can do that, then when you can breathe and ground and center yourself, the fear loses its hold over you, and then you can listen within for appropriate actions.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't do that, then you're reacting. You're
mm-hmm.
not making choices. You're letting things run you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's extremely survival relevant to surf these times, to move into these fears as they arise and deal with them. From the model that I work with, Operation Terra, it says that, and I mentioned this the last time we visited, about this grand cycle
uh-huh.
of 4.5 billion years that is coming to an end right now. And so all of the accumulated experiences that were stored up over the last 4.5 billion years, and clearly that's not just restricted to this planet alone.
Right.
Many of us, if not most of us, associated with the New Age kind of way of seeing and doing, have other planetary existences or have had them in other times and places as well.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this accumulated emotional charge is being flushed from our cellular memory, from the very cells that make up our body. It's all being expunged and zeroed out and discharged. Emotions have a charge. There's a negative charge or positive charge.
Mm-hmm.
And where we end up is a zeroing out of all the emotions so that we become totally neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the old will go with us into the new, only our essence. But these emotional, our emotional history is being cleansed right now. Now, for Operation Terra in particular, and I'd like to just take a moment to define what I mean by that. Operation Terra is a body of information, and it's a transmission of certain light codes, and it is only intended for those who carry the matching light codes in their own cells.
Okay.
So they are approximately 0.1% of the people currently in bodies on the planet, which is roughly 6 million people,
mm-hmm.
5 to 6 million people. And Operation Terra is a special task force made up of a partnership of those of us who have come into bodies on the ground and those of our team that are on higher levels surrounding the planet and working with us from more or less invisible platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a partnership to create a special task force that will, my cat was on the desk, that will eventually lead to an evacuation of those people who are destined to go to Terra and colonize the new planet.
Okay.
The other people on the planet, the 99.9% of the other people on the planet, have other destinations, and there are multiple future Earths going to emerge from this one shared reality.
Okay.
So when I speak of what's going on within Operation Terra, I am only speaking about what is going on for those who are in that 0.1%.
Okay.
And so everyone on the planet, all life forms, are being cleansed right now. And that is all people, whether they're part of Operation Terra or not. But what is going on specifically for Operation Terra Opterans is a, through these light codes, is a restoration of our former estate of full mastery.
Okay.
And there have been three new messages this year. June had one, and there have been two in July. And the two in July, the one in June was kind of a completion or a coda on the ones that had all led up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one on July 3rd began a new kind of dispensation, if you like, and I felt it, and the second one in July really deepened and defined the direction that things are going. And it really is a downloading of those codes that are leading us more and more into manifesting, at least on the inner, our 4D, fourth density identities. And I have been, as this has been proceeding, the clearings have been fairly persistent. Sometimes they're a bit uncomfortable. I feel ill a lot of the time when they're going on.
Uh-huh.
And I have found, as many people are finding, that if we can, and this is what the host, you know, advise also, if we can somehow manage to not resist the clearings when they happen, if we
right.
can breathe into them and release resistance. You don't have to even know what you're clearing. You don't have to know the data.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you have to do is not resist the clearing. And
mm-hmm.
as soon as I'm able to do that, it becomes far more tolerable. And again, it's like moving into something that's unpleasant, which runs counter to our instinctual nature, and so we have to kind of consciously make that choice.
Right.
However, with practice, it does get a lot easier.
Right.
And so as we are moving along this track to Terra, there is this experience of more and more of our higher density selves being present. And what I'm expecting at this point in time is some sort of crossfade where at some point we are going to be more there than here, more in 4D than here, and actually shift our point of awareness to a 4D perspective while continuing to be present in 3D. That seems to be the direction things are going right now based on, you know, the evidence that is surfacing from my own experience and those of the people who are reporting it to me.
Uh-huh.
And this seems to be pretty widely experienced. It's not just a few individuals.
And that would include, you know, the whole, you know, anybody on the planet that's not necessarily involved directly with Operation.
Correct. There is the clearing going on. But where it's taking us, some people, through their rigidity, are having and will have a more difficult time.
Right.
Because they don't understand the concept of non-resistance. And these things also challenge, these feelings challenge their set of beliefs.
Right. Right.
And so they start looking for enemies. They start looking for scapegoats.
Mm-hmm.
It's something like an animal in a trap is in pain, and if you come along and try to help, it may bite you because it's in pain, and it can't perceive beyond its pain. I think we see a lot of that in the human animal as well. Not so much yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen early signs of this already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think many of us have.
I see people looking for somebody to vent on,
mm-hmm.
you know, because this stuff is rising within them, and they don't have a perspective and the skills
mm-hmm.
to process it appropriately, so they want to spew it onto someone else
mm-hmm.
in the form of an attack. And I've noticed that even with, quote, New Age people, there's more hypersensitivity,
yes.
more reactivity.
Yes, I've noticed, too.
Yeah. There's something I'd like to comment on, if I might.
Sure.
And that is, this is specifically about the New Age movement, but it also applies to anyone who professes to be aiming at peace or unity consciousness or oneness. We do a lot of lip service to those concepts, and it's also true in mainstream religions.
Yeah.
About peace and unity and harmony and all those things.
Right.
Well, you have to understand, if you really go down to it, and if there really is a creator, which I do believe there is, There isn't anything that exists outside of the Creator. So everything we see, everyone, every action, everything we see, none of it exists outside of the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a product of the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
The Creator created it all.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are attacking one another for our beliefs or the way we part our hair or whatever, it is a rebellion against the will of the Creator.
Right, right. That's a hard one to wrap your mind around, you know.
Well, it's very hard to accept that we aren't the authors of our existence.
Yes, yes.
That is the hardest thing, because every time, I mean, this is one of the most difficult hurdles
yes.
to get across spiritually. Everything in our conditioning, society-wise, says otherwise. You know, we have choice, we have free will. Nobody ever questions where the free will resides.
Right, right.
And there's a lot, the idea that it's already written is very difficult for
yeah.
a lot of people. It's very difficult to get out of striving.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to get out of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But that is exactly where we're being pushed to go.
Mm-hmm. I find for myself one of the most difficult areas of that is finding things to blame or judging, because it's so easy to find things that are wrong that just mm-hmm. seem like they shouldn't be. And, you know, I find myself slipping into a, you know, us-them kind of mentality. And,
exactly.
You know, I have to pinch myself and say, no, wait a minute. That person is you, and you are them. And they may not know that, but, I can certainly hold that in my awareness, and it makes my life easier when I do that.
Well, may I offer something?
Yes, please.
This is and I agree with you, this is very difficult, and it's a habit.
Yes.
It's a habit, and in order to break one habit, you have to create a new habit to replace it, and you have to work at that for a while
mm-hmm.
until it becomes the new habit. But it does get easier with practice. I can vouch for that.
Okay.
And also when I, to use an, you know, fall from grace, when I stumble, when I forget all of these things, and in the moment I react.
Yeah.
I don't stay there as long. I get through it much more quickly. It's a matter of seconds, not days,
uh-huh.
or weeks or whatever. I mean, I just move through it much more. I catch myself, oh, I got hooked. Something hooked me. But
yeah.
It's always something in me that gets hooked.
Yeah. Yeah.
That person out there is serving me.
Okay.
Everything that shows up in my life right now, including the unpleasant things,
mm-hmm.
are opportunities for me to find what places in myself I need to look at. They're pointing right at them. So, and I, what I am finding for myself, and I don't know how true this is of everyone, but at my stage in my process, and I think it's very individual, I am being challenged to deal with my core issues.
Uh-huh.
And by my core issues, these are themes that have played across many lifetimes, and by accessing them in this lifetime, I can zero out a whole bunch of lifetimes.
Mm.
So it's very efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we really have done that little piece of the entire work that is ours to do, the need to do more of it disappears. I truly have seen this,
uh-huh.
that when I get it, the catalyst goes away.
Huh.
But until I get it, the catalyst keeps pecking at me and saying, come on, you haven't dealt with this yet. Get with it. You haven't dealt with this yet. So I really believe that the thing that can make our journey through these difficult and challenging times easier is the practice of surrender and the willingness to look at whatever has to be looked at in ourselves.
Right.
So if somebody... Oh, somebody was attacking me recently
mm-hmm.
and sending me a whole bunch of hate emails accusing me of being a pawn of Satan and all this sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And nothing I said would make any difference to her.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't until I got out of defending myself and became transparent
uh-huh.
where I truly felt, even from the beginning, I felt compassion for her because I could sense her pain.
Right.
And I realized, you know, what she was saying about me was really what she was carrying within her. But I was in her life and she was in my life in this reciprocal exchange where she brought up some of my core issues. She was telling me, and I've had a couple of those show up lately, about how I should be by her lights. You know, I should be this way, I should be that way. And that, for me, went back to, in this life, when I was 2 years old, and who I was, as I was naturally expressing, wasn't acceptable.
Uh-huh.
And at 2 years of age, my survival was hooked into being acceptable. But it wasn't just this lifetime. There's been many lifetimes in which I have not fit in. And this is a very common experience with the people that I come in contact with through Operation Terra.
Mm.
I don't have any data, you know, from a larger sample, but I know that all through this life, I felt like I was one of a different species.
Yeah.
Entirely different species. And I have only met, all the way through college, I had only met two other people like that. After college, I met one. But eventually, down the road, through Operation Terra, I have been finding all the others that have felt this way also. And the pain of the isolation is enormous, but it's the only way we can be true to ourselves. And I fully expect that there will come a time where I will only be with those who are like myself.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
for now, I'm still part of this world that has such a mixture of different lineages and different paths.
Yes.
That it's difficult to, I can't fit in. I don't want to fit in, but it's also inconvenient at times.
Yeah.
I'm happy to have found others of like-mindedness. Whether or not they're part of Operation Terra or not, there are people who are more open and more willing to leave behind the conditioning of their earlier part of their life and brave new vistas and new, walk new ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that in many ways. There's one other thing that I think is very difficult for people to accept besides the things we've already talked about, and that is the idea that there's nothing to fix.
I was going to ask you about that.
You see...
Would you elaborate on that a little bit? Especially?
Okay, well, if one takes the view that this cycle is supposed to end by divine design,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to end, and there isn't anything to fix about it. It's going down the tubes because it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can debate from now until whenever as to how it might have been an easier trip if this had happened, if that had happened, but even in our own individual lives, have you ever yourself engaged in if-only thinking? If only I had taken this turn instead of that one. If only I had said this instead of that.
Mm-hmm.
That goes nowhere.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really change what did happen, and it really keeps our energy stuck in things that we can't change. And the only thing we have right now is the present moment. What do we do with that? It is what it is. Now what?
Yeah.
And emphasis on the now.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I did this. I messed up. I made a wrong choice and all of that. And so now what do I do?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
However, even that I am beginning to doubt. I don't know that there are any wrong choices.
Yeah.
I don't know that there are any good choices or bad choices.
Yep.
I think there just are choices and there are consequences.
Yes.
There are
yes.
consequences to any choice.
Yeah.
You can choose to do something or not do something. You could choose to go into town or stay home.
Mm-hmm.
Those are choices. They're small choices, but they all have consequences. If you stay at home, you might not meet up with so-and-so. If you go into town and you meet up with so-and-so, something else didn't happen. There's no way of avoiding this decision branch, the logic branch. If you choose one branch, it cuts off all of these other possibilities. If you decide to have eggs for breakfast, you aren't having chicken or whatever.
Yes.
I mean, it's so we have to accept the isness of things.
Mm.
And if, in fact, as has been written in many, many places, this world is supposed to end, is destined to end, then there isn't anything to fix. There isn't anything to stop.
Right.
And nobody likes to read about somebody being killed. Nobody likes to read about the anguish that families go through.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, we have people in travail all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have people starving. We have people who are sick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We have people who are wiped out or lose everything they have when a storm hits.
Right.
We have compassion for all of that. But at the same time, we have also overpopulated the planet.
Oh, yes.
To such a degree that it isn't sustainable. And even if there weren't an end of a cycle to contend with, there are imbalances that nature itself demands be balanced.
Right, right.
When we have overconsumed the planet's ability to renew herself,
yeah,
then we are looking down a very long tunnel to oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are dependent on this planet for our air,
and
for the air we breathe.
And
by poisoning the oceans, we're killing off the plankton, which are the largest source of oxygen of the air that we breathe.
Exactly. And it seems that people have become disconnected with their connection to the planet. You know, as if it's something that doesn't even, it's just a backdrop or something to, you know, a better life or a faster cars or a bigger house or whatever.
Well, it isn't just that. I mean, when we've, I agree with you, but I don't think that takes it quite far enough.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, we come back to this notion of the cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Hindu tradition of the yugas,
mm-hmm,
the last one, the last cycle, is the most dense, most difficult, and it's where we're being killed by our technology.
Mm-hmm.
When people lived closer to the cycles of nature,
mm-hmm,
they perhaps had a closer sense of connection with nature, but that isn't always the case either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They often turn to religion to get them through. When I used to live in New Mexico, there's a living museum that they, Las Golondrinas, that they bring to life twice a year, in the spring and in the fall, and they recreate with costumes and the real thing. There's a village there that is a replica of Spanish colonial times in New Mexico.
Huh.
And it's a very harsh environment.
Uh-huh.
The climate, the shortage of water, there aren't a lot of trees and things like that. And they recreate the actual conditions that people lived under in those times. And at the center of that was the Morada, which was the Spanish penitentes that used to flagellate themselves, and they turned to extremes of religion in order to somehow make sense out of the harshness of their life.
Uh-huh.
There is if one's life is harsh, one way of looking at it is as a punishment for
mm-hmm
sins or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't happen to think that's the case, but that is one way of looking at it. And people have, Easter Island actually destroyed its base for its own survival by propitiating, when they hit some, they were cutting down their trees and doing all this sort of thing, and they upset the ecology of the island environment, and there was no other place to go. And they continued to propitiate the gods. They pleaded with their gods. And in doing that, they destroyed more of the fabric of their own life.
Mm.
So turning to outside sources isn't a solution either. I really think we're in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that all the well-wishing and if-onlys and if only the rest of the people would think like I do, then it would all be great. That's another thing is, there is a certain arrogance, I think, in thinking that how many times have I heard people criticize religions for saying it's our way or the highway? You know, we have the route to truth and God and all this, and everybody else is a heretic or going to go to hell or one thing or another. They're going to not make the cut. I think that's a form of arrogance. Spiritual arrogance. And it's just as true of people in the New Age movement who think our way is the only way also. And that people, I see people knocking themselves out to change the rest of the world, and the rest of the world isn't asking to change. It's
right.
Like people knock themselves out. If only we can convert more people to our way of thinking, everything will be copacetic.
Right.
But those same people who are thinking those things are not asking, how many children can I have? What can I do to make a sustainable environment? Recycling isn't going to do it. Crunchy granola isn't going to do it. And, you know, of course, it's ironic that the people who might be better equipped for good parenting are the ones that have fewer children.
Yes.
And the ones who are perhaps less equipped for good parenting are having more children. But the fact is everybody's having too many children.
Mm-hmm.
We are just not curtailing our population growth. And so whether it's through war or climate change or earth changes with disasters or whatever, these imbalances cannot be sustained. And the work comes right back to each of us. If we want peace in the world, we have to have it within ourselves. And I don't know anybody, who's a saint. I don't personally know anybody. I don't say there aren't some.
Yeah.
But I don't know any authentic person who doesn't get annoyed sometimes, who doesn't, you know, lose their center or feel at risk or feel threatened or all the things that are really the core issues in all of these global conflicts. And then there are those people who love power for its own sake.
Yes.
And that is hard for me to watch. It is hard for me to see individuals in nice remote offices sending other people off to be killed.
Yes.
It's very difficult for me. So what I have to do for my own comfort at this point in time is I have to stay focused on what I can do something about, which is primarily working on myself. And I have to kind of, I don't think I mentioned this in the last program about imagining two plates in front of you. And in one plate, I put what's mine, and the other plate, everything else is God's. And so my plate is always full. I always have more than enough to deal with that's mine to do. And I have found more and more that I do better when I can make the distinction between what's my job and what isn't. I am not, despite the fact that I'm a messenger for these messages, I'm not anybody's savior. I am not the answer. I don't have their answers. I can discuss things. I can share my perspective. I can share experiences that I've had. But I am not responsible for anyone else's path. I am not responsible for their choices. I am not responsible for whether they're happy or not happy. I have told many people to go get professional help. Whether they did or not, that was up to them. Because it wasn't my job, nor am I equipped to do that kind of counseling.
Well, I know that what you do though is in your forums on Operation Terra, it does, you do offer an opportunity to go into more detail about, you know, your thoughts about like what you're doing now, and help gain clarity about the messages or, you know, about anything that's going on in the world. And maybe you could talk a little bit about the forums that, you have to offer.
Well, first of all, just in case people don't know, the website address
Oh, yes,
is OperationTerra.com, OperationTerra.com. So it's OperationTerra.com.
Okay.
And what Lance is asking about is the online forums. And there's a whole page on the site that describes what they are, what they're not. But I want to make it clear that these forums are unique. There's tons and tons and tons of lists out there, and they cover the whole gamut of what they're about and how they're run and everything. These forums, first of all, are not searchable by any search engine. The content stays in the forums. And secondly, the only people who are eligible to join, and this is something that if somebody doesn't know how to answer this question for themselves, it becomes apparent once they're on. These only people who are eligible to join this particular forum are those who feel within themselves that they are part of Operation Terra as it's defined on the website. There's a page called About Operation Terra, About Optera, and it describes what our philosophy is and our position, and part of this thing about not fixing things and not trying to stop anything. It's sort of a self-assessment, and if people have read the messages and they feel that this particular philosophy or perspective is true for them, then they're eligible to join. And normally there's a donation requested, but anybody who can't pay for it, we have people from all over the world, and certainly people all over the world are financially challenged sometimes, and no one is excluded for inability to pay. But what we do is it's there in that focused environment that we can go into these ideas. A number of things happen. People share their significant dreams. They share what their experience is of the journey itself, how they are managing, because a number of us are feeling more and more dissonance with the world around us. I really do feel that the timelines are separating out. And one of the forums I have is called the Operation Terra Study Group, which we go into the messages. I've taken the tack of not dissecting the messages themselves, but rather showing how they apply or exploring how they apply to right now what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And there's I have a forum called A View from the Bridge, where as I see patterns forming up, I comment on them. There's forums where people can just, I've been thinking about this, what does anybody else think, kind of thing. There are places to talk about our pets. We have a pause for thought, P-A-W-S, to talk about our pets. And there's a whole variety of different topics and discussions. Some of them are clearly just chit-chat and social, personal notes and things. Others, we discuss our personal experiences with spaceships. We talk about some of the more paranormal experiences we've had. We talk about the kinds of shifts we're going through. It's a community.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very caring and respectful and loving community.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't anything that applies to anybody except Operation Terra, and that's why it's restricted.
You know, one thing that I want to comment is that it may seem like, I know you mentioned that the messages, you know, actually are encoded to a certain percentage, but from my own experience, they're messages that apply or could apply to anybody. I mean,
the spiritual truths in the messages are applicable to a broad audience because truth is truth is truth.
Yes.
And I don't have a lock on truth.
Yeah.
Nor do the messages. But these are central spiritual principles that, just a second.
Could you move away, please?
I'm sorry, my landlord just came up to the door and was being very loud.
Uh-oh.
And
that's life.
Yeah. So, anyway, the spiritual truths apply to anyone. The light codes are something that is over and above the words.
Right, right.
And they are, the words are kind of a carrier wave, and the light codes go in and activate. And I've actually seen lives change with nothing more than just coming in contact with the messages.
I have
seen people transform. It's a signal that sets off all sorts of things within themselves. It's not external. And that response, I hear this over and over and over. When people have those matching codes, it's like when they come to the messages and they make contact with them, it's like having been in a desert and suddenly reaching an oasis.
It's like an old friend. You know, it's like meeting up.
Well, it definitely has that feeling of familiarity and home, but it actually sometimes provokes tears, tears of relief, and oh, thank goodness I found what I was looking for. And there's this whole thing that gets kicked off in people. And there are other people who come, and it's a little too far out there for them. It's just too, I don't know, spaceships, you know. You mean, what do you mean you don't have to fix anything? What about this? What about that? You know, all the butts.
Yeah.
And for some people, they come in contact with this, and, well, I'd like to think it was true for me, but, and they keep looking until they find what is true for them.
Right, right.
It's a self-selecting process, and it's, I love it because it's fail-safe. Nobody who doesn't have the matching codes, no one who isn't programmed by their oversoul for this, is affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're nice ideas, and they may sow seeds for that person to continue in another direction slightly differently. It may reassure them in a certain way. But that core response, that transformational response, is very selective. And I'm not trying to diminish the value of the messages to anyone, but they are intended for a very specific audience. And it is not elitism either. This is some choice that was made at the level of the oversoul. That's not something I thought of.
You mentioned something about chips, and I wanted to ask you that. I've been noticing a lot in my groups that people who are fairly prominent in various fields of ufology are claiming that there will be more public appearances and that the various ships are going to be visible, they claim, from now on in the future. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
Oh, I sure do.
Oh, good.
Well, first of all, I have had my own personal sightings, but they were not mass sightings. They weren't things that other people shared in. They were demonstrations put on for my private benefit. So I'm not saying these things don't happen, because they have happened for me. Secondly, I have never yet seen one of those predictions come true. And they've been happening for decades. I have never seen any of them come true. Not one. And I don't care if they're New Age or who they are. I have never seen it happen. And number three, our guys don't do that. They're not, remember I said something about not fixing anything? Our guys don't have, our guys, being the positive polarity ETs, the prime directive in Star Trek applies, non-interference with a developing civilization. And so our guys don't come to display themselves to educate anybody about their presence.
Right, right.
And there's there, if this does ever happen, I would mistrust it, except when it's time for the evacuation. But if these lead-ups that everybody's saying is going to happen, one, I'll be surprised if they do. I've never seen it happen yet.
Yeah.
Two, if they do, it's one of two things. It's either a holographic projection put on by those who would like to deceive us,
uh-huh.
or they are not the good guys.
Mm.
And I would not, I mean, I might be wrong, but I will be very, very surprised if any, look, we all have seen ships. There are so many documented things like the Phoenix Lights and the ones over Texas and the ones that flew over the Pentagon in 52. And
right.
I mean, Philip Klass aside, there are debunkers, but nobody's going to convince me there isn't a presence here.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Nobody's going to convince me of that. But in terms of mass appearances in order to announce their presence, in order to get people to wake up and all that sort of stuff,
mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Mm.
The closest we have to that is crop circles.
Mm.
We have crop circles that are, but you'll notice that those appearances that do occur,
mm-hmm.
you've had some yourself,
mm-hmm.
okay? Those are to awaken our curiosity, but they're not something that you can say definitively what they are. The crop,
yeah.
the true crop circles
yeah.
titillate us. They provoke our intuitive side to get it, but all of the other stuff, it's sort of like beside the point, and we can never, ever prove
yeah.
anything beyond a reasonable doubt.
And that goes back to being able to live in the question.
To live in the question
yeah.
and also non-interference.
Yeah.
Positive polarity entities do not do things in such a way that it changes the choices you have available to you. They can kind of incline you in certain directions.
Mm.
Like I had, I don't know, let's see, we've got a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I had a case where I had put on a conference in 2002 and I had brought a wallet of CDs with me, and there was one of the conference events was I was going to do a guided meditation, and I had brought all these music CDs and I hadn't picked one out to use, but I set it. The room that we were staying in had a mantelpiece over a fireplace, and I set it on the mantel when we went to sleep. And when I went to go to the guided meditation session, it had disappeared, completely disappeared.
Huh.
I got there, I went into surrender. I said, "Okay, now what?" You know. And I asked if anybody had brought any music with them. One guy had come all the way from Scotland and had put this particular CD into his suitcase. He had been given guidance to take it with him. He didn't know why, because he knew he wasn't going to have a CD player, but he brought it. And he put up his hand, and he went and got it, and it was perfect. It was the perfect thing. It was so perfect, and yet I was totally unaware of that particular piece of music.
Wow.
I did the guided meditation. It was wonderful. We finished our session that evening. When I went back to the room to change for dinner, there was my CD wallet right where I'd left it.
Wow.
So in that sense, I had been interfered with and guided. But it was my own willingness to surrender and just open myself up to the possibilities. That was the choice I made.
Uh-huh.
And that resulted in this magical marriage. And this guy had also trusted himself
uh-huh.
to bring it.
So,
a lot more going on
yeah.
than we're aware of, and it's sometimes very difficult to appreciate just how much coordination is going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. I've often said that synchronicity is similar to the landing lights in the plane coming down. That I can tell when there's more synchronicity that I'm letting go and allowing the universe to present itself, and just kind of going with the flow.
Right.
And, you know, not trying to control things and allowing things to just be. You know, and that's not always the appropriate action, but it seems like synchronicity is a clue for us.
Well, I think synchronicity is God's way of speaking to us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I really don't believe there are any accidents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe, I believe that everything has significance, right mm-hmm. down to the smallest detail. And next time we talk, I'll be able to tell you some stories about that.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
But I think we are just about out of time.
We're close. We're
yeah.
close.
So any closing thoughts or questions? Or? And I'm happy to, you know, talk to you anytime.
Well, you know, you can welcome back to the show anytime. I love having you. And, you know, for the people that are having difficulty, oh, I want to ask you this question real
yeah.
quick. I've been getting asked this question from a couple of people about, you know, doing this DNA activation or doing this procedure. And for me personally, I don't find it necessary to do any of those things that require, you know, 20 days of saying certain things, I am that I am that I am, or, you know, applying to this deity or that one. But what's your take on that kind of thing?
I totally agree with you, and in fact, the hosts have said this.
Oh, good.
Nothing is needed. Anything that is needed is being supplied directly.
Good.
They're working on us 24 hours a day, especially
good.
While we're sleeping.
Yes.
And all this other stuff is just another way of disempowering ourselves.
Yeah.
I am not saying that if you have a medical condition, you shouldn't treat it medically.
Mm-hmm.
But all this DNA, whatever, I really think it's not true for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly true for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wouldn't be having that opportunity to have that experience. But no, I do not believe any of that is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, unless you have a great deal of ability to discern who's behind the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
where the technique is sourcing
yep.
from,
yep.
I would be very, very cautious about those kinds
yep.
of things, because there are very few really clear individuals. And there are a lot of people who are very mixed in their
yeah.
clarity, and they are being used
mm-hmm.
by higher density entities that are not interested in our well-being, only their own.
Mm-hmm. I'm really
so I'm very suspicious of those any magic potions, magic water, DNA adjustments, or
yep.
soul corrections, or...
Yep.
Any of those techniques, and I'll probably make a whole lot of enemies by saying that, but it has been my experience that our work is on our inner process.
Yes.
This emotional work.
Yep.
That is what we need to do, and we need to work on shaking ourselves loose of our programming. All these decreeings and affirmations and all that is imposing our will over the will of the Creator.
Yeah,
those are all trying to stay in charge, and we're being asked to do exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
Surrender is the way through, and surrender is an action. It is not an act of passivity.
Right.
It is not passive. It is a choice to enter into things, release control. It's all about what is at the base of the need to control but fear.
Mm-hmm.
It is all about moving through fear and into love.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you said that, and you know, I wanted to end on that note of love, that you know, just to talk maybe just a little bit about, you know, as we go out, about how to stay centered in the energy of love.
Well, for one thing, I think it's extremely helpful to develop a body awareness.
Okay.
So that you can feel if your breath is becoming short and shallow.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're going into something other than love.
Okay.
When you're in love and when you're calm and at peace, everyone who has had that experience can use that as a point of reference.
Mm-hmm.
If I find myself like that, where my breath is getting shorter and faster, and I catch myself, oh, okay, time to take a long, deep breath,
mm-hmm.
calm, ground, close my eyes, get back into my center, get grounded. I still find myself caught up into reactions sometimes, less often, and I don't stay there as long. But it's just a process I think we're walking through, and I really feel the answer to being in a state of love is moving through our fear.
Mm-hmm.
And projecting love that is not present in oneself is just another way of avoiding what has to be dealt with and looked at.
Yes, wow. Well, Liara, that's just wonderful, wonderful stuff that you've shared with us, and I'm just really delighted to have you tonight.
Well, thank you.
And I look forward to speaking with you again.
Absolutely.
And, I encourage everybody to go take a look at the messages on OperationTerra.com. And again, I thank you enormously, and have a great evening, Liara.
You too.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.